Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
I know. I'm just trying to do something. Okay. I know I have to wear this, but
Josh, can you open it?
Sorry, I had it open and then life happened. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. How we sang today, you are faithful, Lord. This morning we pray that you will reveal yourself, Jesus, to us. Holy Spirit, do your work. And right there where you're seated, just take a step of faith and say, yes, 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 God. I'm here and I'm ready to receive. I give you my heart. Do your work in me, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Okay, like Megan said, thank you. We are starting a new series today, and I am really excited because I'm calling May the month of women. Now, men, do you love the women in your lives?
Hallelujah.
Women, do you love being a woman?
Yes.
Do you love other women?
Yes.
I mean, I love being a woman, to be honest. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I'm an aunt. I am a lot of things. I'm a sister. I'm, like Megan said, I'm a co-lead pastor here. I'm a servant. Women wear a lot of hats. Women go through a lot of things. Women go through a lot of things. And sorry, guys, but if you know, if you're not a woman, you're not going to get it. But you are going to get something from this series because chesed is a word that encompasses all of us, not just women. So the series that we're starting today, chesed. Okay, sometimes in the Bible there are words that have been translated, and honestly our English or Spanish or whatever translation doesn't do justice to what the actual word carries. It's a thing about weight. In my mind, it's a thing about weight, you know? So chesed literally means the gospel lived out. Okay? That is very powerful. Chesed is a lifestyle that was designed by God for his people in the intention of living together, loving each other, and it goes against really our fallen nature. Chesed goes against that fallen nature part of us that just like has an edge or like is kind of selfish. Chesed is selfless, seeing for the other, lived out selflessly in kindness and mercy kind of love in community with God and with each other. It's a very, very rich word. Okay, and this is what we're calling our series, is chesed. And we're starting this series, obviously, we're going to talk about Ruth. We're talking about Ruth. And here's the thing. Sometimes when we think of the book of Ruth, we think of a love story. We think of a man that came and saved the women, you know? Love, Disney, flowing gowns, and batting of the eyelashes. But really, guys, Ruth, yes, it is a love story. But it is so much more than that. It is a story, honestly, of boldness and courage and refugees and famine and dusty roads and no prospects and no destiny and destitution. It is the start of a story, and we, in our beginning place of a story, are going to start in a very, very dark place. That's my friend Andrea. Now, I know all of these very important members of the church because I am now very involved in the nursery. And so if you haven't seen me around for a little bit, it doesn't mean that Josh and I are fighting. I'm here. I'm in the premises. I'm just sometimes not in, like the kids call it, big church, okay? I am in another part of church where we have ministry, and we have, and I just have to say, okay, I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do a parenthesis here. Last week in nursery, as we were done with worship, and as we were doing our lesson, it was about Job and friends, one of the little girls started crying. And it was a Holy Spirit moment because all of us prayed for her and all the kids. We're talking about 3 to 5-year-olds. We stopped everything. Everybody prayed for peace. Everybody said that they loved her. And she felt a lot better. And then we continued on with our lesson. So I just want to let you guys know that Holy Spirit ministry doesn't just happen in big church. It happens with babies, and it happens in nursery. And to me, honestly, God has revealed himself. You know the prayer I prayed this morning, reveal yourself? He has revealed himself through those kids. So I just wanted you to know, keep praying for your church and keep praying for your kids and for your youth. Holy Spirit is doing something with them. Okay, closing parentheses. Let's go back to Ruth. We're going to start, like I said, in a very dark and heavy place. So go with me to Ruth 1. We're going to go Ruth 1, 1 through 5. I think it's 1 through 5. Okay. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and 2 sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They married Moabite women, and one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they have lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left with her 2 sons. Naomi was left without her 2 sons and her husband. This is where we open our story. The days when the judges ruled already sets us up in a dark place. The days where the judges ruled were full of foreign oppressors, governmental collapse, military invasions, famine. The glory days of Joshua and Moses are long gone. And now the people are there and they don't know about the Lord and they do their own ways. Some of them worship other gods. So the book of Judges is a book of really vicious cycles. A cycle of idolatry and sin and forgiveness and idolatry, forgiveness, sin, and on and on and on and on. And God gave them away to their passions, and judgment fell on them. And this is the day when the judges ruled. And there's famine. Elimelech's family is driven out of Bethlehem, not because they wanted to try out some other country. They are driven out because of famine. Now, I do not, for us in the U.S., in Houston, it is very, very hard to imagine what it would be like to look at your family and make a decision to move because there is no food. Now, just imagine that. Here when we say, oh, we're starving, it's because You know, you haven't had breakfast and you want a donut from the donut place. It's not, we're never going to be able to really put ourselves there. But have you ever looked or seen the news? Have you ever looked and seen what a famine victim looks like? It is not pretty. It is destitution. It is the worst of the worst. Now, Elimelech and his family are driven out because of famine, and they don't catch the 6:30 flight. I want you to imagine dusty roads. I want you to imagine dangerous roads. I want you to imagine leaving all of that you know behind and going to a place called Moab. Now, Moab and Bethlehem, not on the best terms. The story of Moab really comes from, remember Abraham's nephew Lot? The Moabites come from Lot. It's a whole culture that is born out of incest. And it doesn't have a cool, calm, and collected relationship with Israel. Okay? It is really a place where they worshiped other gods and really kind of dark and idolatrous. Heavy stuff like human sacrifice kind of stuff, okay? And I'm not going to go into that because there's children in here, but just dark. So they go to Moab, and they have nothing. Guys, they are refugees. We're talking about refugees. They have nothing. They come to Moab, and all is not okay in God's world right now. I want you to have a picture in your mind of Job on the right side, and I want you to have a picture in your mind of Naomi on the left side. Now, I am going to make a case today, and it's not me making a case. There's other authors and people that are way smarter than me that have made the case that Naomi is a feminine version of the type of Job. When we read through Ruth's story, we kind of brush over Naomi. We kind of even blame her a little bit for being a whiner. But we don't take the time to see that Job at least had friends, bad friends, but at least he had somebody. Elimelech dies. Naomi has nobody. Nobody. Now, back in those days, if you could produce sons, check for you as a woman. So she had two sons, so two checks. So at least she has her sons. At least she has her sons. And here we go into the part of the story about gender, about identity, about values. Naomi's world is cemented in a very patriarchal society. And I don't mean patriarchy like, oh, down with the patriarchy. Historic patriarchal society meant that as a woman, everything that you did, every decision that you made, all of your world was controlled by the man in your life. First your father, then your husband. Okay? This was a real patriarchal society, a real, real place of identity as a woman. Your identity as a woman were the men in your life and the decisions that they made for you. Okay? Now, Elimelech dies. By the way, guys, she loses her husband on foreign soil. So dusty road, refugees, famine, really bad situation, come to the refugee place, settle in Moab. My husband dies on this strange land, and I am left alone, a single parent of my two boys that are not married when Elimelech dies. I want you to take yourself back. In those days, when women married, their man in their lives gave a dowry. Okay? It was more an arrangement. It was more something that, is it convenient for our family to marry into your family? Is it convenient for this situation to now be together with that situation? Okay? And how much are you gonna pay me as the father of this person that I've kept intact for you? Naomi has none of that. They have no land, no wealth, no money, and no patriarch. So let's make a case for the kind of women that Ruth and Orpah were. Now, you know that as Moabites, they were probably not the cream of the crop, because they were willing to marry them to two refugee, nothing boys with nothing father. So they were probably not the cream of the crop. For Ruth, my boys, my treasures, sons of the promise of Bethlehem, are marrying into this culture, marrying into these two women. And now we find ourselves here. And at least, my kids are now married in this world. So our line can be existing, keep existing. And guess what happened? Infertility happened. And they were not able to have kids with Malon and Kilian. So, refugee, poor, destitute, widow, and now, no children. For 10 years, no children. And then, Malon and Kilian die. This is the start of the story of Ruth. It's a story of destitution, of hopelessness. It's a story of the lowest of the low. And let me turn it around. This book, when we go into this book, this is a love story from God to us about loving the outliers and the outcast and the destitute and the refugees and the less than and the other and the ones that nobody wants. This is a story about redemption in its most raw form. This is a story about redeeming. Literally, we say those things. Oh, what nobody wanted, what was lost. No, no, no. Ruth's family, nobody wanted. Nobody wanted. This is a story, a love story. If you have ever been an outcast, if you have ever been beside yourself, if you have ever been thinking, I don't have it together, I don't know what I'm doing, think of Naomi. And do not miss the next installments of this series, because it starts really dark. But these women transform themselves through the grace of God so much that literally God puts them in his lineage. Think about that. This is something we're going to repeat over and over in this series. Ruth, Naomi, did something so powerful, and they were so bold, and they were such strong women, using their voices, that God puts them in his lineage. That is powerful. That is a love story to you. That when you were nothing, and when you were not a friend of God, he picked you. He loved you. He gave his life for you first. It's what Carla was saying at the beginning, with the shattered glass. The opening of Ruth, my friends, is a shattered glass. It's a shattered glass. It is a mess. And if you had had God's job to look at that and transform that, I don't know. I think it would have been better just to erase it and start over. Because women, I ask the women here, how much can a woman take? Widowhood, barrenness, loss of children, loss of everything material, destitution, refugee status. I mean, how much can a human take? How much can a human take? Well, we're going to visit Naomi's life and find out how much a woman can take, how much a life can take. I want to go back to this word, chesed. And I want you to do something for me. This is not a one sermon done thing. It is very important that you come the next six times, or is it five times? It is very important that you come the next five times. Oh, can you open this for me? I see, I need the man in my life to open my water for me. Thank you. This is a story not just about a romantic relationship between a man and a woman, even though I do have a romantic relationship with my husband, of course. This is a story of how God envisions the teamwork between men and women working, even when you're not married to them. You know, as a church, you have sisters, you have brothers, and you are meant to collaborate and work alongside in chesed, in loving kindness, believing the best of each other, living the gospel out loud, if you will, with them. This is a story of not just Ruth and Boaz. You're going to meet Boaz later. Boaz is quite a character. But like I was saying, I need you to come the next five times, because this is the opening of a sermon that lasts five Sundays. Because the book of Ruth is a literary work of art. The book of Ruth is a story. The book of Ruth is a poem weaved through time with highlights of themes. And we have to open it like this because I want you to set your mind in first the dusty road, the dusty, ugly, tear, sweaty, smelly, stinky, what else? Just that kind of situation. Okay, get your mind around that kind of situation. You know, my husband and my son go out and they power wash the house, and then when they come back, they are covered in something. And I don't want them in the house because the smell and the texture of their skin is not clean. Now, I want you to imagine all of that times 25 with everybody around you in this dusty place of, now what are we gonna do? And then I want you to imagine a human woman dealing with widowhood and infertility and carrying this family that now she has on her shoulders in a patriarchal culture. I want you to imagine all of these things as we go into Ruth next week. In the days that the judges ruled, meaning not the best time for the children of God, not the best time for the worship of the Lord. Not all is okay in God's world. This is where we begin Ruth. And I want you to remember that this is a story, a love story to the outliers, to the outcast, to the people that don't belong. If you've ever felt like you don't belong, like you can't talk, like you have social anxiety, like you're not the same as the others, guess what? You're normal. You're okay. You belong. You belong. And this story is for you. This story is for you, and it's powerful. And this story is about women and the men in their lives coming together to express chesed to the world. And now, what we're going to do today is we're going to take communion together. And before we take communion, I want you to go to that dusty place in your life. I want you to go to that place of where you were before you met God. And if you don't know God this morning, I want you to open your heart and listen to this. You are loved by God. You are loved so much by God in your condition that he expressed chesed to you on that cross and died for you to pay the wages of sin, which are death. That death was paid for you. So in this moment of silence, I want all of us to go in our hearts, invite God to those dusty places. Right there where you're at right now. And I want you, first of all, to prepare your hearts by asking for forgiveness. Right where you're at, in your heart, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. I need your grace in my life. I need your forgiveness in my life. And we're going to wait here a moment. And Holy Spirit, I asked right now that you minister to everybody here. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for including us in your redemption story. Where you are, say thank you, Jesus, for including me, for seeing me. Holy Spirit, come. Shower me with your love, your presence. We want to be right before you when we take communion, Lord. Cover us with your grace. Cover us with your grace. And everybody said, amen. Our friends are going to come and help you by giving out a little cup of elements. You're going to take that cup of element and you're going to wait with it, and we're all going to take communion together. And as you do that, go in your calendar and clear out the next 5 Sundays in the morning. Because you will be here. You will be here and you will listen, not just to me, but other women in the church that have something to say about Ruth. And Holy Spirit is going to minister to men here about the women in their lives and about Hesed. And I believe God is going to open our eyes to be able to see the people that are on the outskirts of our lives, that are hungry for Hesed that only comes from Jesus. What we're going to do is we're going to wait for everybody to have their elements. We're going to take communion together. And then we're going to do a response song. And I want you to open your heart. I want you to open your heart and worship freely and get ready to be ministered to. And after the song, we're going to close with a blessing. If you have your elements, can I ask you to please stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because through our mess, through our lives, through our dusty roads, you remain. You remain. Your presence remains. Your wisdom remains. Through the ages, you are here. You are there. You are faithful. Okay, we're going to take the bread. He took the bread and said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." This is what happened on the cross for you that day. His body was crushed for us. Take this and receive the grace of God. Wine represents the new covenant. The blood that was shed for you on that cross seals your story with His grace. It seals your story with forgiveness, and you can walk through life free and forgiven because of this new covenant. Take this grace. And let's worship together, church. Cause you
slow to anger, rich in love. Your kindness is pursuing us. You are slow to condemn us or discard us, even when we've gone astray. Your loving kindness, sweet forgiveness, slow to anger, rich in love. Your kindness is pursuing us. You are slow to anger, rich in love. Your kindness is pursuing us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're pursuing us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're pursuing us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're pursuing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're pursuing us. Cause you are slow to anger, rich in love. Your kindness is pursuing.
Kindness is pursuing us, Lord. Through the pages of your sacred word, to the year 2022, your kindness keeps pursuing us. We are sons and daughters of kindness and grace. We are sons and daughters of love in the flesh. We are ambassadors of Hesed in the world. Be encouraged today that no matter your context, God will look at you and He will think something like He thought of Ruth and Naomi. I need that in my lineage. You are worthy because He made us worthy.
In a little bit, we're going to have people on either side of the room that would love to pray with you. As they were praying this morning, there was a couple of specific things they felt. If you're struggling with intestinal problems, GI issues, we'd love to pray with you. We think God wants to touch you today. Somebody's dealing with an issue with their left foot that just won't get better. And then somebody that's dealing with either a diagnosis of or the early signs of dementia, we believe that there's prayer for you, there's healing for you today. And then if you find yourself deeply emotionally connected to the brokenness of the story of Naomi and Ruth, we'd love to pray with you. As we look back at that story, we see God in the story, but beyond that, we see them, Naomi and Ruth, in the story of God. You're in the story of God. In the shattered brokenness that might be life, in the expectations that haven't panned out, in the frustrations of what is, and the disappointment of what is not, you are in His story. It is important. You're not forgotten. You're not lost. It's not over. And so today, we'd love to pray with you. As you go this week, our prayer is that you experience Hesed in new ways. That you experience the presence of God in the midst of the brokenness that might be or the joy that might be of your life. And that everything in between. So as you go, this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may He richly bless you and keep you.
Que Él te bendiga y te guarde.
May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Que Dios haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y te dé su paz.
May He smile on you and fill you with His peace.
Que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Has sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy extravagantemente amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo.
Have a great week of worship, and we'll see you here for the next 5 weeks, or Danya will look for you.
Where are you?